Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as always, although some have sued him to stop, senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Have you heard about Hugo and Kim? Did they really get pinned? Did she kiss him and cry? Did he pin the pin on? Or was he too shy?
Is she really going out with him?
Different song.
Yeah, I know.
That was one written by Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
That's a lie.
It was a hit.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Let's move on to our topic, shall we, before this really falls apart.
Okay.
So we wanted to talk today about Google and its planned acquisition of Motorola Mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means and why Google would be considering it, and kind of just sort of look at the topic and talk around it. It's kind of interesting because this was first announced in August of 2011, August 15th, 2011, to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, August tends to be a slow month in tech news.
Yeah.
But the August of 2011 was anything but.
Yep.
It started off like any typical August in the tech world. But within the second week, things just went out of control, crazy bananas.
Yep.
And Google Motorola was one of the big stories, or so we thought. And other stories later eclipsed it. But let's kind of talk about this. And the details of the deal here are that Google would be paying around $40 per share in Motorola stock,
mm-hmm.
and which is an increase of around 63% of the value at the time of the announcement.
Yeah, about $12.5 billion.
Billion with a B.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. And keep in mind, why would Google want to buy Motorola Mobility? What are some of the reasons?
Okay, well, to start off with, I mean, it's not like Google buying companies is unheard of.
No, Google's got a long history of doing that.
Right. But typically it's they are purchasing companies that Google can turn into something else. Like, for example, when they bought Writely, mm-hmm. Writely was an online word processing software that you used in your web browser, which became part of Google Docs.
Yeah, it's kind of more service-oriented than hardware-oriented. Yeah, that's really what Google was focusing on.
Or advertising giants, you know.
Sure, DoubleClick. Yes, which feeds directly into Google's line of revenue.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's Google products and services.
Exactly.
But with Google purchasing Motorola Mobility, Motorola Mobility was a fairly recent spinoff of Motorola, which has been around for a long, long time.
And Motorola was the company that invented the cell phone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The very first cell phone was a huge cell phone by Motorola that wasn't meant for consumers. It was a prototype.
Yeah.
And famously, the head of Motorola at the time made a call to, I think it was Bell Labs.
Yeah.
From the street out in front of Bell Labs' office in order to kind of rub their nose in the fact that Motorola had built the first cell phone.
I believe the words that they used as they were waving up to the person in the office at Bell Labs was, "Yoo-hoo!"
Yeah, which you can also translate into nanny, nanny, boo-boo.
Yes, and then the six trucks it took to carry the phone drove off. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it wasn't quite that big, but it was rather clunky. So anyway, Motorola definitely has a long history.
Yeah, well, even longer than that.
Sure.
I remember Motorola CB radios in the 1970s. They predate that by quite a few years.
Yep.
So Motorola's been around for quite some time, but they're known for making things.
Yeah.
Physical things. And Google is typically not. I mean, even when it came out with the Nexus One cell phone, the hardware for that was not made by Google.
No.
It was made by HTC.
Yes.
So the question is, why would they do that? And the first reason, this is one of the cool things. You know, at Tech Stuff, we don't usually cover breaking tech news. I mean, you might mention something on the blog, but when we actually get to it in a podcast, we've had a chance for the news and commentary to develop on it somewhat.
Right.
So the initial news was Google bought Motorola Mobility because it had thousands and thousands of patents.
Right.
And this has been in the news a lot lately too, where Google and Microsoft and Apple and HTC have all been going at one another on who's violating whose patents.
Right.
And Google doesn't have a lot of patents.
Yeah. And to be clear, Google was kind of outside of these arguments. I mean, they were directly involved in the sense that the arguments had a lot to do with the Android operating system.
Right.
But the actual lawsuits did not target Google. They targeted the hardware manufacturers that were using Android operating system.
But Google is not a bit player in this. They have a big stake in the outcome of these arguments.
Right. So Google definitely has a lot to lose if the arguments go against the manufacturers, but they didn't have really much recourse to act out against these lawsuits because they weren't the ones named in the lawsuit. And so Google's move to purchase Motorola Mobility might have been fueled in part with this desire to get hold of these thousands of patents so that the company could protect itself against patent lawsuits, patent infringement lawsuits. And the way you protect yourself against a lawsuit isn't that you prove that your idea is original or that you have the patent on whatever idea it is that's at stake. It's to say, if you sue me for infringing on this idea, then I can sue you for infringing on these ideas. And it becomes this thing where it's almost like the Cold War, right?
Yeah.
It's where these different companies are building up arsenals, except their arsenals aren't weapons. They are patents, patent portfolios. And it protects them because they know that if another company tries to sue them, they can countersue, and it makes the whole thing counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
So you're more likely to reach an agreement with another major company where perhaps you agree to license the technology across both companies,
mm-hmm.
or multiple companies if there's more than that involved in a lawsuit.
Yeah. And it sometimes works out where people are sort of exchanging, you know, making an exchange. So I'm licensing these patents, you know, for every one of these I make, I'll give you $10 for these patents. And
yes.
For every one of these I make, you give me $12 for those patents and we'll just call it a day.
Yeah.
The thing is, a patent is basically a protection of intellectual property.
Right.
And it's on file with some patent office somewhere. You know, a lot of times ideas will be patented in Europe and in the United States and in, you know, different countries. So, you know, these are high stakes games that people are playing. But that's only the first, I would say that was the first obvious thing. The other obvious thing is that Google is making the Android operating system,
right,
and Motorola with the Droid, and several other.
The Zoom,
the tablet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was making devices. So until this point, the Android operating system was free for multiple OEM companies to license
right
from them. So you have people like HTC, you've got
Samsung,
LG,
sure,
Motorola,
yep,
licensing the Android operating system for use on their handsets. And that's helped Android gain one of the biggest market shares.
Crazy market share.
Like, over the course of a very short time.
Yeah, it even though the iPhone debuted before Android, Android caught up to iPhone and got a wider distribution. And there are multiple reasons for that. For one, unlike the iPhone, iOS is only found on the iPhone. That's it.
Well, yeah.
Well, for phones.
For phones.
For phones.
Yeah.
It's also found on the tablets, the iPads. But
I was just waiting for someone to write in.
I'm glad that you said that. Okay, so for phones, iOS is only found on the iPhone.
That's correct.
And you might be able to find different generations of an iPhone out on the market at any given time, depending upon when you go to the market. But
they are all manufactured for Apple.
For Apple, and it's just the iPhone line.
Yes.
If you wanted an Android phone, you have lots of different choices across multiple carriers. And remember, for a long time, iPhone was just stuck with – not stuck. iPhone was only available on AT&T.
That's right.
And then
in the United States.
In the United States. And then eventually it was also available on Verizon, and there are now rumors that it will come to other carriers as well. But that limited the adoption rate of the iPhone as well, just because some people were locked into contracts with other carriers or they had – they knew that that other carriers had better service in whatever area they lived in. And even though they might want an iPhone, it just wasn't practical based upon their particular situation.
Right.
But because Android phones were available across multiple carriers, across multiple handsets, it gave people a lot more choice. So there's no surprise that Android caught up in the marketplace and then started to go beyond everyone else, at least in the smartphone market. If you look at the cell phone market overall, then Android is not the dominant operating system. But in the smartphone branch of the cell phone market, Android's winning.
Right. And so all of a sudden, now Google owns one of the manufacturers to whom it was licensing
right
the its software. And now – well, of course, I haven't actually heard any of the other manufacturers say anything.
Most of the comments from the other manufacturers have been, we trust that this is not going to in any way impact our relationship with Google.
So sure, that's what they say.
So in other words, like HTC would say, yeah, Google's buying up a company that creates competing products with our products, but we trust that Google's not going to give them preferential treatment and hurt us in the marketplace. And you know, you could say, well, that's probably lip service, that, you know, what else is HTC going to say? But I've read some good arguments that this could very well be the case, meaning mostly because if you look at all the different handsets that hold and products that have Android operating system on it, Motorola Mobility consists of around roughly 15% of all the products that have Android on them, which means you have 85% of the products that have Android on them are made by other manufacturers. So why would Google endanger the relationship with 85% of the products out there that run Android? Why would Google put that at risk if they were to give preferential treatment to one company over everything else? It doesn't make sense from a numbers perspective, right?
Right.
From business perspective. And also, we should say that Larry Page, who is a co-founder and the CEO of Google, said, this is an excerpt of a quote. We will create amazing user experiences that supercharge the entire Android ecosystem for the benefit of consumers, partners, and developers. I look forward to welcoming Motorolans to our family of Googlers. And I guess the idea here is that you take the hardware expertise from Motorola and you take the systems expertise from Google and you work with those to try and create new systems that would be ideal for Android users, but not necessarily try and keep that just to Motorola. It might be that, again, that Google makes patents on these things and licenses out to other manufacturers so that you might have Google and Motorola coming up with these new ideas and new ways to implement the operating system in a really innovative way, but they wouldn't be kept just to Motorola products.
But so, yeah, that was what those were the two big things
that I
saw in the days immediately following the news of this deal were, oh my gosh, look at all the patents they've got.
Right.
And we really are talking about thousands and thousands. And there are thousands of other patents that have been submitted but haven't been ruled
issued,
on yet.
Right.
So they haven't been issued or declined. So there could be even more in the works. And in fact, I've heard that it's possible that Google doesn't even know everything that's in that portfolio. But, you know, they're buying it for the intellectual property, and oh my gosh, what happens with all these other manufacturers? Some say that they think that people like Samsung and HTC might look again at Windows Phone 7. I've actually heard that Microsoft may receive a shot in the arm because Windows Phone 7, despite critical acclaim, has been flagging in the marketplace.
Right.
And so this might give them give other manufacturers
an
impetus to take a look again at the operating system and, hey, maybe we should create more Windows Phone
phones. Because the philosophy is, despite what Google's saying, how can it even be possible that the Motorola phones with the Google operating system that were all, you know, everything that was developed within Google was developed with these phones possibly in mind. How can we compete against that? I mean, if I'm out in the market to buy an Android phone and I know that Google owns Motorola Mobility, even if Motorola Mobility remains, it's as independent as it possibly can be under the umbrella of Google, I'm tempted to buy Motorola because logically, I would think anything that Google does that's innovative is going to be aimed at this particular kind of hardware over the other kinds. Even if that's not true, that's going to be what's in my mind.
Well, there are a lot of people who aim for the Nexus.
Because they think they're going to get the operating system built before anyone else does.
Yeah, the Nexus 1, the original, and then the Nexus S, which is Samsung's. And a lot of people say, well, these are the phones that are designed to be the pure Android experience.
Right.
Google has said that they were going to give out all the builds that the phone can handle, so nobody's going to hold anything back. Because some of the other manufacturers have messed around with the operating system, and they say, well, it's not the same. Like HTC is known for its HTC Sense modifications to the operating system. Motorola actually has Moto Blur.
Yep.
And both of them have their fans and detractors.
Sure.
They say, well, you know, HTC's not going to give me the update for my phone, and I really want that, so I'm going to make sure I get the Nexus. Or, you know, the same thing for all of them. I've heard complaints about all of the different manufacturers because they say, well, they're so intent on creating this experience on top of Android, and I just want the pure Android, darn it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because the day that we're recording this is the day that I got the Gingerbread update to my Android phone.
I'm still waiting.
And Gingerbread's been out for a long, long time. For you people in the future who are listening to this podcast, it's not that Gingerbread is fresh out of the oven. It's been available on other devices for a while. I just got it as of September 2nd, 2011.
Froyo. Anyway.
But I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that that one of the arguments I would use against the people who say this was purely a patent grab is that, well, first of all, it looks like a lot of those patents that Motorola has wouldn't necessarily be useful in patent lawsuits. They wouldn't necessarily be that valuable. in that case. Some of them probably are, but not all of them. And it may very well be that most of them aren't terribly useful for the whole patent lawsuit warfare strategy. But another reason is because Google was part of a bidding war for another group of patents.
From Nortel?
From Nortel, which ended up being a $4.5 billion package of O patents. And Google decided not to continue to bid on that and passed that chance up. But then they spend $12.5 billion on Motorola Mobility. So you could either say, well, perhaps they view that the patents that Motorola holds more valuable and more relevant than the patents that Nortel held. Or they could be saying, well, no, this really is because we want to have a platform to work with when we're developing Android, not just the patents that come along with it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it seems like the best article I've found on all these different pieces of fallout was from Renee Ariccio of Inc. It was a longtime tech journalist. And she was pointing out, too, that Nokia also might receive a shot in the arm from this, because there's been a long time there's been a rumor going on for a long time that Microsoft might want to pick up Nokia. Mm-hmm. And this just makes it all the more possible that somebody might gobble up Nokia, which has been around for a very, very long time. Also has done a lot of innovation, not as visible here in the United States. But, you know, they've had a lot of phones over the past using the Symbian operating system. And so there might be an opportunity there. Also, Research in Motion, she suggested as a possible takeover target.
Yeah. Research in Motion is hoping that this will turn things around. Research in Motion, as of the recording of this podcast, has had a few rough quarters.
Yes.
That's putting it lightly.
Yep.
Yeah. And you have to remember, Research in Motion was once the dominant company in the smartphone market in the United States in particular. Like, that was the one that all the executives would go for. You would hear the story about the Crackberries, where executives were addicted to using the smartphone because it was so compelling. Well, that was before the smartphone had really started to creep into the consumer market. It was definitely before Steve Jobs had introduced the iPhone, which opened up the floodgates.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, for a while, it was the enterprise security level that kept BlackBerry in its position.
Right, yeah, because everything's encrypted and it's all passing through specific servers owned by RIM. Although that did cause some problems in various industries, because RIM is a Canadian company. And if you're talking about a United States company, some executives and some IT professionals were a little nervous about the fact that their information was passing through the servers in a different country. But RIM has built a reputation on being reliable and encrypted and safe. So it was able to move beyond that in most cases, I would say.
Mm-hmm. You know who else is benefiting or might benefit if Google standardized more on the Motorola hardware platform?
What's that?
Developers.
Yes.
And I'll only say that once, because I'm not Steve Ballmer.
Right.
Because the very thing, you know, a lot of people who don't like Apple products because they're closed off and prefer Microsoft or Linux, or for phones, Android, they like the fact that these things are open, that they have multiple marketplaces, multiple options to buy their software from. They say it's more open. But the thing, it's a two-sided coin.
Right. Yeah. The challenge is the fact that there are so many different variations of Android out on the market that developing an app means that you either have to make it as general as possible to hit as many of those operating systems and to work properly on as many of those operating systems as possible, or you just write off a percentage of your potential audience and develop for the latest operating system or the latest couple of versions of that operating system.
Mm-hmm.
Because Google does release updates to Android, and you want to develop for the newest version of whatever the operating system is, because that's probably going to give you the most advanced features. It's going to give you access to the resources that you want to make a truly compelling app.
Well, you hope for that.
Yeah. You could aim to create an app that is much more basic and really goes after very simple elements of the operating system. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the temptation is, of course, to develop something that's really cutting edge that pushes the envelope. And so the problem is that Google doesn't have any control over which handsets and which carriers update the operating system. Like, they don't have – Google can't schedule that. Google can release an update to the operating system, but it's up to the carriers to actually push that out to users. Mm-hmm. So you could be stuck with an Android phone that could be theoretically, based on its hardware, capable of running the latest operating system, mm-hmm. but you're stuck a version or two versions or more behind the current one because the carrier hasn't pushed that update out.
Right.
So that means that as a developer, you have, instead of one operating system to develop for, you've got, you know, six different versions of that operating system to develop for. And if you want your app to be usable across all Android devices, you have to take that into account when you're building your app. So you can't build in those super cool futuristic features mm-hmm. without leaving behind a good portion of the people who own Android Android devices. So hopefully, by purchasing Motorola Mobility, Google will have a little more control in keeping a nice standard build of the operating system, and other, hopefully, carriers and handset manufacturers will follow suit and incorporate that into their devices so that the experience is more level across the board. Now, if you own something that cannot run the latest version of that operating system because it just does not have the hardware necessary to do it, mm-hmm. you're still going to be out of luck. But that's just like any other computer system. If I go out and buy an old computer, it's not going to have the resources necessary to run a modern operating system, like a current version of an operating system on it, because it doesn't have the horsepower.
Right.
But that, you know, that's the nature of technology. You just don't want to be left behind seemingly arbitrarily, knowing that your device could run this stuff, but for some reason doesn't. Mm-hmm. That's really irritating, both from a consumer perspective and a developer perspective.
Yep. And then there were, in the days that followed the initial freak outage of the deal.
Yeah.
People just, I think once they stopped, you know, thinking about what would happen with the other developers, they started thinking about the other stuff that Motorola Mobility does. Mm-hmm. Part of which is it brings in a whole lot of money for Motorola, or used to, or won't soon, will for Google. Mm-hmm. So it's another source of revenue. And in addition, they make stuff other than phones, like set-top boxes for TVs.
Right. And this could be the next step in implementing Google TV.
Yes.
Which has – it's funny because I see reviews of Google TV, people who have actually used it.
Uh-huh.
And they tend to be fairly positive, at least of the potential for Google TV. There's a lot of stuff that's holding Google TV back, and a lot of that has to do with content deals.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's a whole different podcast.
But the
fact that they have a company now that produces set-top boxes mm-hmm. Could mean that there's a tighter integration with that, and we might see some pretty innovative home entertainment systems with Google technology built directly into them that will hit the market in the next few years.
Mm-hmm. And then there's in-dash navigation systems for cars.
Mm-hmm. Although, really, I mean, smartphones are starting to really take a bite out of those.
Sure. But you could have greater integration if you had an Android phone and you had Android in your dash.
Yeah. I could even see that becoming even more complex, where you start getting agreements with specific car manufacturers where that's built in. Like, it's not an aftermarket thing, but it's built in at the very beginning. And so you go out and you buy your new car, and that car happens to have a Google Android system built into it. And if you happen to have an Android smartphone, then you've got automatic integration between those two. I mean, that's a very compelling device.
Well, I mean, this is an area in which Apple is not active, but Microsoft is.
Yeah.
And this is, I'm sure that just makes Microsoft even happier about the deal than they already weren't.
Yeah.
You know, because this is a place where I don't know that anybody else had the clout of a Microsoft. I think it was, you know, car by car So this is going to be scary because Google's got a lot of weight it can throw behind those.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's more to this deal than just the patents and just the effect of the, on the manufacturers of phones. I mean, this really has some far reaching implications, and it might push, Google's competitors in different ways.
I've even seen suggestions that perhaps the Google Motorola acquisition could end up getting, well, it's going to get a lot of scrutiny, but it could potentially raise questions of antitrust laws. And, and that's a little tricky because you look at Google and you look at Motorola Mobility, and at first blush, these two companies don't seem to have a lot of overlapping, areas of products. You know, it just doesn't seem like it would be that big a deal. But then you take into account the whole operating system for mobile devices. And if Google is targeted for antitrust, then the question is, well, how is it possible for Apple to have its own line of products with its own operating system that is not available on anything else? How can that be possible? But the Google Motorola acquisition isn't. And I mean, it's just one of these conversations that spirals and spirals outward, and you start to question why you even got up in the morning. Typical Friday for me, really.
Well, no, and it's just, this is one of those onions of news, because there's just so many different layers to it.
But not the onion.
Not the onion.
Which would still be hilarious.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, it's fascinating stuff because this really does have some pretty far-reaching implications than just the ones on the surface. And, you know, the rest of the world didn't necessarily latch onto them immediately, but I would bet that Google had some of this other stuff in mind when it completed the acquisition. You know, there are lots and lots of things that these two companies could do well together, provided the merger goes through, or merger acquisition is allowed to proceed. So
yeah, because it's not a done deal yet.
No, it's not.
We talked about it almost like it is, but that's really, this is an announcement, it's an intention, and everyone's reacting to it as if everything's been signed and sealed. But in truth, things may still fall apart for this deal. We've seen some pretty major deals get some serious opposition recently in the news. Yeah, yeah. So it wouldn't be a surprise to see that sort of at least scrutiny put toward the deal, if not opposition.
Yeah.
So we'll have to keep our eyes on this and see how it develops. But really interesting discussion here. Not everything in technology is all based on circuitry and software and electricity. Some of it's based on corporate policy and finance and politics and intellectual property. And I find this just as interesting to me as stuff that beeps.
I agree.
So guys, if you have any suggestions for topics that we should tackle here on Tech Stuff, let us know. You can send us an email. That address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com, or drop us a line on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle there is techstuffhsw. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.